Our gospel reading this morning comes from St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and met the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all the bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The word of our Lord. Have a seat. Hey, kids, come on. Hurry, hurry, hurry. I've got something for you. Is it candy? Listen to her. Is it candy? Didn't you get enough candy trick-or-treating?
No.
No? Of course not. One honest child in the group. All right. Ready? Come on. Ready? One more coming. Ah, here she comes. Here she comes. Here she comes. Scoot over, girls. Let them in. Knock, knock.
Yes.
Carrie. Yes. Carry on with what you're doing. I'm at the wrong door.
What?
Knock, knock. Yes. Annie. Yes. Anyone you want. Ooh. Knock, knock.
Yes.
Cow goes. No, cow goes moo. Knock, knock. Luke, look through the keyhole and you will find out. All right. Knock, knock. Ketchup. Catch up with me and I'll tell you. Knock, knock. Gorilla. Gorilla me a hamburger. I'm hungry. Knock, knock. Alec. Electricity. Isn't that a shock? Knock, knock. Al.
Al.
I'll give you a kiss if you open the door.
No.
Knock, knock. Donut. Donut open till Christmas. Aw, were those corny? At least I got more laughs this time than I got at the last church. What is this a picture of? Kids. What's he doing? Jesus knocking on the door. Do you think he's telling knock knock jokes?
No.
Knock knock. Jesus.
Jesus,
the one who's the savior of your life. When he knocks on your door, when he knocked on your door at baptism, the door was open. Today Emma will get baptized, and I want each and every one of you up here to watch the baptism. That's when God will open the door and Emma will be a part of God's house. Let's pray. You know how we pray, right? Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Let us always keep the door open to your love. Amen. All right, I have a picture and I have candy. Who asked me for candy? You did. All right. These are for you to color and remember. Here, you can chew on it. It's good paper. It's sanitized paper just for you. Okay. There you go. Now, oops, sorry, Ty. There you go.
Thank you.
I'll get him later. That's all right. Come on, Bryce. All right, you guys, thank you. What's the rule about the candy?
Thank you.
What's the rule? Don't leave the paper in the pews because the ladies get mad at me. All right, so take your trash with you. You don't want, do you want one for him?
I like weather.
You want, oh. All right, fine. All right, you guys, see you later. Stand up, Brycey. Come on, up you go. Go, 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 go. Go, go, go. See you later. Somebody left candy for me. I wonder if that's to sweeten me up. You think? This morning, we are surrounded by the faithful of every time and every place. As we celebrate Christ coming in our midst in the world of life and the feast of victory, the marriage feast of the Lamb. Amen. I'll tell you what, November is a hard month to preach. Part of that is where we are in the cycle of the church calendar as November draws us toward Christ the King Sunday and the lectionary readings anticipates Christ's second advent, his second coming, even as we prepare for his first coming, the advent at Christmas. And the other part is it's Matthew. Matthew, who offers more warnings about hellfire and gnashing of teeth than all the rest of the evangelists put together. And so this Sunday and those that follow will emphatically urge us to wait, to make the most of our gifts, to do good, or else. This morning's parable is very challenging for three reasons. We're not accustomed to that role of virgin bridesmaids, the way they played in ushering the groom to the wedding. And the whole parable feels archaic and somewhat confusing. Number two, Matthew's parables are, by and large, pleading with a community that has gone through catastrophic duress to keep the faith, to confess Christ, and to wait expectantly for his return. Even though his return has been delayed beyond what the first generation of believers anticipated. Considering that the Thessalonians to which Paul was writing at about 51 AD were so anxious that they might have missed out on Jesus' return, we can imagine that it is even more confusing and harder to inspire Matthew's audience 30 years later. And then if you take that, project that out another 2,000 years, and you begin to appreciate the challenge of preaching this text today. I mean, give me a show of hands of how many of you are actually, eagerly, anxiously waiting the return of Christ. Oh, well, there are a few. I didn't get any last time. Usually, thanks, guys. Usually, we only see this on billboards and the guys that are wearing the placards that say, you know, the end is near. And then we kind of poke fun at those people. Number three, the parable, quite frankly, is a little unfair. All the bridesmaids brought oil. All of them waited. All of them fell asleep. The decision about who gets to go in and anticipate the bridegroom in this incredibly late night. Who would have thought to bring oil? Okay, maybe it's not unfair. I mean, it's just that I'm pretty darn sure I would have been one of the bridesmaids that wouldn't have brought the oil, the extra oil. I would have expected the groom to be on time. I can't imagine walking down the road with a lamp in one hand and a bucket of oil in the other hand. I know there are people out here, Diane is one, I'll pick on you, that are always ready, plan ahead of time, have extra food. You arrive early for whatever. I know there are people that do that. I'm just not one of them. That's all. Now, I have to admit this parable's odd. It's a bit ominous, and it's rather archaic in the terms of imagery and theme. It just is. Okay? We can just say It's confusing, uncomfortable, and difficult to understand. And if you feel that way, you're not alone. Because at our pericope study, us pastors felt the same way. We didn't know what to do with this passage. But let's focus on the core of waiting. And we need to admit, quite frankly, that the kind of waiting that Matthew is encouraging through this parable is hard. Waiting for something way overdue. Waiting for something you're not sure will even come in your lifetime. Waiting that involves active participation when you're not even sure what you should be preparing for. You know, that kind of waiting is challenging, very challenging. Waiting, however, can be an important point of contact because it's something we're all accustomed to. Do you remember when you were a kid, how you waited and waited for Christmas? You couldn't stand it. You counted down the days. You made the chains and then took the little circles off the chain. Is anybody with me here? Did any of you anticipate Christmas as much as I did? I know the kids do now. What about waiting for that phone call from someone really special? Or waiting to know that a loved one in their travels has arrived safe and sound? We all know what it is to wait. In particular, we know how hard waiting can be. Here, I think, is the center of my sermon. Waiting is hard, really hard, and it's often tinged with anxiety. I tell my kids, if you're going to be late, call me, because if you don't, I will imagine all these horrible things have happened, and when you walk in the door, I'm going to be so mad at you because you're alive and you're okay and you didn't tell me where you were. So if you don't want to get yelled at, just call me. So what are you waiting for? What event are you looking forward to? What kind of waiting do you find the most difficult, anxiety-provoking? Anybody want to share? What waiting drives you crazy? Oh, come on. All right, Diane. Waiting for that call from the doctor. Ouch. Anybody else? Yeah. Oh, that can be irritating, especially in bad weather. What else? Yeah. When you have to wait and you can't drive anymore, waiting for a ride. Waiting for a ride. Well, you know what? They are getting those cars that drive themselves. So all you'll have to do is program it and sit back and you can go. We're all accustomed. Oh, yeah. What? What? Spoken like a true church secretary, right? You guys, it's time for the newsletter articles. Get them in as quick as you can. Well, we are well acquainted with waiting. Whatever we're waiting for, whether it's good or bad, doesn't matter. The anxiety and the stress of the living and the in-between time can be very difficult. The parable reminds us that we're not alone in our waiting. From the earliest Christians on, we have confessed that waiting can be very difficult. Even Jesus tells in this parable, in his own in-between time, he has just recently triumphantly entered Jerusalem. And yet his trial and crucifixion is ahead. And one thing Matthew and all the evangelists tell us is that Jesus knew what was coming. And so here he is, teaching the crowds, facing off his opponents, instructing his disciples, even as he waits for that coming cross. Jesus, too, knows how difficult waiting can be. And he is with us, and he is for us. Now, I realize this kind of active, prepared waiting for the return of the Lord that Matthew is encouraging is not quite the same as we've been discussing. That's okay. What do we do about it? We need to admit that waiting for Jesus' imminent return is difficult for most of us to even entertain. Let's also recognize that the opportunities for waiting on Jesus' presence are all around us. Every time we work for justice, just as Amos told us in our first reading, we testify to the presence of Jesus. Every time we bear each other's burdens, we testify to Jesus' presence. Every time we advocate for the poor or reach out in friendliness or work to make this world that God loves so much a better place, we testify to the presence of that risen Christ. Let's even admit that this kind of waiting and preparation can be hard to sustain. We all get weary. We all get frustrated with the lack of the outcomes that we want to see. We get distracted by the thousand and one things in our life that just pulls us in every direction. In short, on any given day, all of us are the foolish bridesmaids. Given this reality, I want you to reclaim the church as a place where we can find help and support in our waiting. All kinds of waiting and support as we try to live out our Christian life. You know, I find it really striking that Paul chooses to close his letter to the first century Thessalonians with these words, "Therefore, encourage one another." Yeah, that's our role as a church. We are those who wait for each other, wise and foolish alike. We are those who sit vigil for each other at the time of pain, loss, and bereavement. We are those who celebrate achievements and console after disappointment. We are those who give hope where hope is scarce, comfort when it's needed, and courage when we're afraid. We are those who help each other to wait, prepare, and keep the faith. In these ways, we encourage each other with the promises of Christ. And that's what it means to be Christ's followers, then and now. And that's why we come together on Sunday, to hear and share the hope-creating promises of our Lord. We need to be spiritually prepared for Christ's coming. That's the whole point of this scripture. God's coming will be a day of great joy and celebration for those who are prepared and great sorrow for those who are not. We have to be prepared. We need to be spiritually prepared for our own death. We might not live to see Christ coming back, but we will live to see the end of our own lives. Not long ago, a friend told me that she thought she was going to die in 2 years. I said, yeah. You're going to die. I'm going to die. You're going to die. We just don't know the time or place. We need to be prepared for our death. We need to be prepared for life. Life is never easy. Life comes at us and tries to break us in any way it can. But Christ mends us and keeps us strong at the broken places. Yes, we need to be prepared for life. We need that preparation from the day when we will meet God face to face, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the sick, visit the homebound, visit the prisoner, and do it in Christ's name. You guys have all heard of Dr. Carl Menninger. He was a famous psychiatrist. And a person asked him what you should do if you felt a nervous breakdown was coming. Here's what he said. Lock your house, go across the railroad tracks, find someone in need and help them. Then you forget about the woe me. And then that's the way to mental health. Jesus puts it this way. Most certainly I tell you, inasmuch as you did for the least of these, you did it to me. That's our spiritual health. Jesus said it. We need to do it. Waiting is just a reality of life. It's not one of those, that's the way it is, get over it. But what we choose to utter and how we choose to live that waiting is what matters. Not for God, but for ourselves. Lord, do not delay is simultaneously a claim of urgency, but a witness to promise. Yeah, we want the wait to be over, but at the same time, we know that God will show up. God will show up in the midst of our everyday life. in our waiting. He'll show up to be what we need God to be, depending on the experience that we're having. If our waiting is experienced in fear, he comes with peace. If our waiting is experienced with longing, he arrives with deep and abiding satisfaction. If our waiting is experienced with anticipation, God accompanies us in that joy that should be our present. In the words of Matthew, keep alert. But rather than keep alert for what is to come, keep alert for the ways in which God enters into our present. And it seems to be exactly what we need. Keeping awake does not mean the absence of God. It means to recognize our utter dependence in the presence of God. This morning, Emma and her baptism is surrounded by the saints of every time and place. And we are certain that God is in our midst in the feast of victory. Make haste to help me, Lord. Hasten me, O God. Lord, do not delay. And because of what God does for us, we have hope. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let us stand and sing the hymn of the day.